Title: Darkside Breakbeat Layer Deep Dive Using Macro Controls Creatively in Ableton Live 12 Beginner. Alright, let's build a proper Darkside Break Stack in Ableton Live 12, the beginner-friendly way, but with a pro mindset. Two layers, one clean and punchy, one dirty and haunted. And then we're going to turn the whole thing into something you can perform using macro controls. If you've ever heard Darkside DNB or Jungle and wondered why the break feels alive, like it's breathing and shifting, it's usually not. Because there are 50 tracks. It's because the producer built a solid core loop, then performs tension and releases with filters, throws, distortion, and tiny edits. That's exactly what we're doing today, in arrangement view, in the edits part of the workflow. First, project setup. Set your tempo to somewhere between 170 and 174 BPM. I'll go with 172. Now make a simple drum and bass-friendly layout so you don't get lost. Create a track that's going to become your break stack, plus optional kick, sub bass, music or vocals, and later you can group drums into a drum bus if you want glue. For this lesson, we're focusing on the break stack. Now pick a break. Any classic style break is fine. Amen-ish, think, funky drummer, whatever you've got. Drag it into an audio track. Before we do anything cool, we have to warp correctly. This is one of those boring steps that decides whether your groove hits hard or feels wobbly and weak. In the clip view, turn warp on. Check the detected tempo, because live guesses wrong all the time on breaks. Adjust the SIG BPM so the loop actually sits tight on the grid. For the clean transient version, set warp mode to beats. Preserve transients and set the envelope somewhere around 20 to 40. Lower envelope is tighter and choppier, higher envelope is smoother. We're going for solid rhythm definition first. Now consolidate a clean one or two bar loop. I usually like two bars, because it gives you a tiny bit more natural variation. Highlight the region and consolidate with CMD or Control J. Great, now we have something stable to build on. Next, we're making two layers. Duplicate the track. Name one break punch and the other break texture. Let's do the punch layer first. Keep warp mode on beats. Now add devices in this order. Start with EQ8. Put a high pass filter around 25 to 35 Hz to remove rumble. If it's boxy, do a gentle dip around 250 to 400 Hz, like 2 to 4 dB, nothing crazy. And if you need a little clarity, add a small presence boost around 3 to 6 kHz. Then add drum bus. Keep this subtle. Drive maybe 5 to 15%. Crunch 0 to 10. Turn boom off for this kind of DNB break work, because boom can collide with your sub and kick strategy. Push transients up, maybe plus 10 to plus 30, until the snare and kick edges feel like they're stepping forward. Then add glue compressor. Set attack to 3 milliseconds, release to auto ratio 2:1, and aim for just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. You're not trying to flatten it, you're just trying to make it feel like one confident unit. Now the texture layer. Here's where the dark side lives. Switch warp mode to Complex or Complex Pro. Complex Pro is great when you want that smeary, resampled character. Try pulling formants down a bit, anywhere from 0 to minus 20, and just listen. If it starts sounding creepy and wrong in a good way, you're in the right zone. Now add auto filter. Set it to LP24. Put the cutoff somewhere like 3 to 8 kHz for now, and add a touch of resonance, around 10 to 20%. Don't overdo resonance. We want tension, not a whistle. Next, overdrive. Drive around 20 to 45%. Set the tone around 4 to 7 kHz, and dry slash wet maybe 20 to 50%. The texture layer should get dirtier, but still feel like it's part of a break, not like a separate noise track. Optional but extremely dark side. Add redux. Down sample around 1.5 to 4, bit reduction around 6 to 10 bits, and keep dry slash wet low. Like 10 to 30%. Redux can destroy things fast, so small moves go a long way. Then add reverb. Keep it dark and controlled. Size around 20 to 40, decay 0.8 to 1.8 seconds, predelay 10 to 25 milliseconds. High cut around 4 to 7 kHz, because bright reverb on breaks tends to sound like a bad drum room instead of a haunted space. Dry slash wet like 8 to 18% for now. Remember, we're going to do throws later. We're not trying to swim in reverb 24/7. Quick coaching note before we group. Gain staging. This is how you make macros feel performable instead of dangerous. Set your punch layer so it peaks around minus 10 to minus 6 dB. Then set the texture layer 6 to 12 dB quieter than the punch. The texture should be felt like shadow and movement, not dominate your rhythm. If you do this now, your future grit knob won't instantly blow up the mix. Now select both brake tracks and group them with CMD or Control G. Name the group Dark Side Brake Stack. Show the macro controls for the group. This is where the magic happens. Click Map, and we're going to create a set of macros that feel like performance controls. Macro 1. Tightness. The idea is you can make the brake feel more forward and snappy, or looser and more smeared, without touching 10 parameters. Map drum bus transients on the punch track. Set a range something like plus 5 to plus 35. Then map the texture layer auto filter cutoff. For example, 2kHz to 10kHz. If you want tighter to mean darker and more controlled, you can invert the mapping, so turning tightness up closes the filter a bit. There's no rule here, just pick a direction that makes sense to your hands. Optionally, map the texture, reverb dry slash wet so when it gets looser, it gets a little wetter, like 6% to 16%. The main teaching point is this. Don't map the full 0 to 100 range unless you actually want chaos the whole time. Make the middle useful. I like setting things so around 40 to 60 on the macro feels neutral, and then the extremes are special moments. Macro 2. Dark filter. This is for those tension sweeps into fills and transitions. Map the texture auto filter cutoff from around 400 Hz up to maybe 9 kHz. Map resonance too, something like 5 to 25%. Keep resonance on a smaller range so it adds bite without taking over. Macro 3. Grit. This is the push it over the edge control, but we're going to keep it musically safe. Map texture overdrive dry from maybe 15 to 55%. Map redux dry slash wet from 0 to 35%. And add punch drum bus drive from about 3 to 18%. That last one is important. Small movement on punch drive can help it keep up when the texture gets nastier, but you still want the punch to remain the anchor. And here's the DJ style rule that keeps edits musical. When you do a big macro move, keep one thing stable. Usually that's your punch transients. If everything moves at once, your brain loses the groove. Macro 4, room throw. Instead of leaving reverb on all the time, we spike it on specific hits. Map texture reverb dry slash wet from 8 to 35%. Map decay from 0.8 seconds to 2.5 seconds. If you want this to sound huge but not messy, here's a great stock-only trick. Put an EQ8 after the reverb on the texture chain. Then map your throw macro to also cut highs and cut lows. For example, as the throw increases, bring the EQ high cut down so it gets darker and raise a low cut so it doesn't fog up the kick and snare area. This is one of those teacher secrets that instantly makes throws sound more intentional. Macro 5. Stutter. Add beat repeat either on the group after everything, or just on the texture layer if you want the punch to stay stable while the grime glitches out. For beginners, I actually recommend beat repeat on the texture first, because it's easier to keep groove clarity. Set beat repeat interval to 1 bar, grit to 1/8, variations 0 to 20, chance at 0 for now, gate around 50%, mix maybe 10 to 35. Now map chance from 0 to 35%, and map mix from 0 to 35%. Now you can automate this macro for literally one beat and get an instant fill. Macro 6. Crash zoom. The build control. This is the sucked into the void moment. Put utility at the end of the group chain. Map utility width from 100 to 160%. Map a filter cutoff, either a group filter if you add one, or just the texture filter cutoff, from around 9 kHz down to about 1.5 kHz. And map the reverb wet up a bit too, like 10 to 30. Now when you ramp this macro, it feels like everything zooms outward and downward at the same time. One more protective move, especially if you're new and you want freedom to automate aggressively, add a tiny safety net at the very end of the group. An EQ8 with a very gentle high shelf down if it ever gets harsh, and a limiter with the ceiling at -1 dB just catching spikes. That's not cheating. That's how you keep your creative flow without random clipping. Now we've built the instrument. Next, we need to make it an actual edit, not just a loop. Option A is the fast approach. Arrangement chops. Consolidate both layers to the same length, like 2 bars. In arrangement view, duplicate that out to 16 bars. Then add small edits every 4 or 8 bars. At bar 4, remove the last 8th note tail with a hard cut. At bar 8, repeat the last 16th note snare hit by copying and pasting it. At bar 12, mute the first quarter note for a stumble. And at bar 16, do your big reverb throw and filter sweep. Option B is more producer mode. Slice to drum rack, right-click the break clip, slice to new MIDI track, choose transients. Now you can re-trigger slices and write jungle-style patterns. You can still keep the two-layer concept by slicing only one layer, usually the punch, and leaving the texture as a straight haunted bed underneath. That's a really solid beginner compromise. Now let's talk automation, because macros are only half the story. The other half is when you move them. Here's a simple 16-bar plan that feels like real Darkside DNB, and you can copy this every time. Bars 1 to 4. Keep it mostly clean. Tightness low to mid. Writ low. Establish the groove. Bars 5 to 8. Start the tension. Slowly bring dark filter down from around 7kHz to 3kHz. And on the last beat of bar 8, do a tiny stutter blip. Don't stutter the whole bar, just a quick moment. Bars 9 to 12, second phrase, escalate slightly. Raise grit just a bit, like 10 to 20%. Then do room throw spikes on specific snare hits. Keyword, spikes. Your drawing short automation moves so it feels like a send throw, not like the break moved into a cave forever. Bars 13 to 16, pre-drop energy. Ramp crash zoom over the last two bars. In the final bar, you can stutter the last half bar and then do a hard cut. Silence is a weapon in Darkside. Sometimes muting the texture layer for one beat while the punch continues creates a fake out that hits harder than any plugin move. When you automate, try using shapes, not perfect straight lines. A fast rise, then a slow drift, then a quick drop feels performed. Linear ramps can sound like you drew them with a mouse because you did. Now, common mistakes to avoid as you work. If the break feels late or early, your warp is wrong. Fix warp markers and clip start, because DNB is unforgiving there.